from the nation's capital. If it happens in America or anywhere in the world, you'll hear about it first here, right here. Now, your anchors, Chris Salcedo and Lori London.
America's Radio News Network.
Get ready to get informed. This is America's Radio News. So glad you're along. I'm Chris Salcedo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. Great to have you with us. It's Wednesday, February 16th. Here's what's happening.
Republicans will not punt. Everything's on the table, and we will put forward a budget that deals with the big challenges that face our country.
Bread and butter issues, but will Republicans put entitlements on the table?
I mean, you know, they don't have a budget plan, and the public knows it. The president can't do that. He has to have a plan.
One Democrat tells Republicans to walk their talk when it comes to the budget.
It's very predictable where this is going to go. It's going to go to horrible places.
And can Charlie Sheen resurrect himself and his reputation?
We're circling the globe and sweeping the nation to bring you all the latest news.
So glad you're on board for a Wednesday. This is America's Radio News. Glad to see you, Lori London. All kinds of breaking news here live from the nation's capital
today. There certainly is, Chris Salcedo, and thanks to all of you for being with us today. Well, we've got breaking news in the Middle East. Israel monitoring two Iranian warships about to pass through the Suez Canal for Syria, and they're warning they might act. Israel's foreign minister says Israel cannot ignore these provocations. And he says the warships are a provocation that proves Iran's nerve and self-esteem is growing from day to day.
And the popular uprising spreading to other nations in the Middle East. First off, in Libya, hundreds of Libyans have staged anti-government protests in the country's second largest city of Benghazi, chanting slogans denouncing Libyan leaders and fighting with police. The Iranian government, Iranian clerics establishment, has called for a major rally in Tehran on Friday to express what it calls its hatred of reformists who organized a day of major anti-government protests earlier this week, and another hot spot in Bahrain, hours after thousands of protesters poured into the nation's symbolic center, Pearl Square. Hundreds of people carried pro-democracy protests into a third straight day today, joining a procession to mourn a demonstrator killed in a clash with security forces.
Well, on a collision course over spending, House Republicans advanced a sweeping $61 billion package of budget reductions, despite a veto threat and warning from President Obama against the cuts that he says could endanger the recovery. Congressional Democrats say the Republican cuts would reduce employment rather than add to it.
And Lori, it has the attention of all lawmakers up here on Capitol Hill, this budget battle. And Martha McCallum of Fox News, she got into a bit of a heated debate with Congressman Xavier Becerra. He's a Democrat from California, over President Obama's proposed new budget, which would impose a $300 billion tax hike on businesses and the rich.
60%, the top 5%, the people that, you know, you're calling very wealthy, and I just want to point out that a lot of those people are small business owners that fall into that category. And
the
people
the
who,
2%.
No, hold on, let me finish my thought. The people
so
who
Martha,
own
wait,
the small businesses who generate
here,
the most jobs
the
in this country fall into that group, okay? So that
Martha,
group together,
Martha, you're
not even letting me finish my thought.
Premise.
I'd like to finish my thought.
It's because your premise is incorrect.
It is not incorrect.
The top 2% wealthiest aren't small businessmen and women.
No,
these are
I'm
the wealthiest Americans. So don't say that you can't say that they're small business people when they're the wealthiest Americans in the country.
That's flawed. But let me ask you this. 5% of this country, okay? 5% of the country pays 60% of the tax burden. So we're talking about raising the tax burden on that 5% of the country who already pays 60% of the taxes in the country. Is that fair to you? Does that sound fair to you?
No, that's incorrect. 5% of the country, which may pay
incorrect.
A large, very large
it
portion,
is
not going to be paying. Remember, I just said to you, 98% of Americans will be spared any tax increase.
Sounds like she's not really letting him make his point. She was sort of attacking him.
Well, Mr. Becerra is also, he's saying 98% of the people in the country will be spared from a tax hike. What he failed to mention there is that 50% of the country doesn't pay taxes as it is.
But she was also sort of, she may have had her facts a little bit incorrect as far as the top percentage of small businesses.
Well, according to him, that was what he was saying. But I think McCallum actually was citing a lot of facts that are out there that are pretty much widely accepted. That a lot of the tax burden in this country does fall on the wealthy, a vast majority of it.
Well, they make the most. I don't know. Senator John Kyle echoed his call that the Obama administration's kicking the can down the road with President Obama's new budget.
His State of the Union speech pretty well presaged what was going to happen in this budget. Because if you analyze that speech carefully, it was all about things that we need to invest in, with very little about the fact that we have to deal with wasteful Washington spending. And he did not tackle the entitlements or suggest any of the other hard decisions that a leader should be willing to tackle. Now in the budget, same thing. And many of the newspapers around the country have panned it. And that pretty well captures the sentiment of most. He's kicking the can down the road, failing to exercise leadership to deal with our spending problem.
This issue of entitlements is a big one.
It is.
It's such a major part of what we're told will really be the key to reducing the deficit, and yet it is being kicked down the road again.
And it's put to us, the American people, as such a complicated issue. But I think that where the American people sit is, look, I've got to balance my checkbook at the end of the day. Any business that's out there doing its job has to balance its checkbook at the end of the day. Why would we not expect that our government can continue to spend money it doesn't have without any ramifications? And I think that's the point that a lot of Republicans are at least trying to make right now. And say what you want to about the president's budget, it does not cut the deficit. It adds to the deficit. So that is exactly what the point of contention is right now. And you know what? And for that matter, anything the Republicans are putting out there adds to the deficit. Nothing right now is cutting into that deficit. So we got to see.
It's almost like a game of chicken.
It is. let's switch gears here. Let's go over to Obamacare. And buoyed by the recent federal judge's decision on Obamacare in Florida, Governor Nikki Haley, the Republican from South Carolina, has renewed her appeal to the president to allow the states to opt out.
I am supporting the attorney general's decision and certainly thankful and grateful for the decision that came back last week from Florida. I think it spoke volumes. Secondly, we have supported Senator DeMint's bill, which basically repeals the bill altogether. And then this past week, I had a press conference with Senator Graham, who has issued an opt-out bill, which would allow any state to opt out. After my conversations with the president asking him to repeal, and he said no, I asked him if we could opt out. He said that we could, but he had strings attached. What Senator Graham's bill is allowing us to do is allowing every state to decide what we need to do. The president's conversation has been about health care services. What we need to be talking about in our states is health. How do we get the most help for the least amount of money? South Carolina is not like any other state in the country. The issues that drive us on health care is not that we don't have good quality health care. It's that we have unemployment and poverty. We need to handle South Carolina in the way that we know that's best, not the way the president knows that's best.
Hmm. But the thing is, my question is, Chris, can we really have state by state health care laws? I mean, isn't this more of a federal issue? Because this is, our health care crisis is, the whole commerce issue. And,
Well, that's the age old debate. Do the states have the rights, or does the federal government have the rights? And I think that there are some people out there, mostly on the conservative side of the aisle, that look at the states as laboratories. And when you implement something that actually works, you can actually implement that on a national level.
But the thing is, if we have a healthcare crisis, which nobody is arguing about, we do have a crisis in our society. How do we fix it? Republicans don't like what we've got, but what are they going to do to make it better?
Well, again, we got to see that proposal on paper. That is a very legitimate criticism of the GOP. Where's their plan? Coming up here on America's Radio News, we're going to talk to Dr. Amy Pate, specialist in internal relations and comparative politics, with a particular focus on the ethnic conflict and democratization. We'll get into all of that coming up here next on America's Radio News.
And three deputy U.S. marshals shot while serving an arrest warrant in Elkins, West Virginia, their condition not yet known.
And the Democrats, they join the GOP in criticizing President Obama's budget. Those stories come your way next, right here on America's Radio News. It's where the nation's news breaks.
The campaign for 2012 has already started, and we're right in the middle of it. Keep it set right here to America's Radio News.
For more information, go to AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com. That's AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com.
If we break the story, you know you've got the details right.
America's Radio News Network.
You can read about it tomorrow, or you can hear about it right now, right here on America's Radio News. Happy to have you on board. I'm Chris Salcedo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent was killed yesterday, another wounded in the line of duty while driving through northern Mexico. The two agents were driving in the northern state of San Luis Potosi when they were stopped at what appeared to be a military checkpoint. After they stopped, someone opened fire on them.
Democrats joined Republicans yesterday in criticizing President Obama's budget request for doing little to bring down the national debt. Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad, a Democrat from North Dakota, faulted Obama for not taking on entitlement reform. And during testimony by Office of Management and Budget to OMB Director Jack Lew, suggested the administration was not being serious enough about reducing the deficit. Senator Chris Coons, a Democrat from Delaware, said Obama should have followed through on his recommendations from the Debt Commission, which in December proposed nearly $4 trillion in cuts over the next decade that included reforms to Medicare, Social Security, and the tax code.
Well, a CBS correspondent was brutally attacked Friday in Cairo's Tahrir Square. Lara Logan was covering celebrations for a 60 Minutes story when a frenzied mob surrounded her, her crew, and their security team. Separated from the others in the chaos, Logan was surrounded, beaten, and sexually assaulted. A group of women and about 20 Egyptian soldiers eventually intervened to rescue her.
Let's get to the America's Radio Newsline. Let's talk to Dr. Amy Pate, Center for International Development and Conflict Management. Welcome to America's Radio News, Doctor.
Welcome.
Hello.
Wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's happening over there in the Middle East right now. We're starting to see these popular uprisings. They're spreading throughout the region. Give me your take on that.
The Middle East has been dominated primarily by authoritarian regimes for a long time. And what we're seeing now, largely through really sort of grassroots uprisings, is a questioning of that. Starting in Tunisia, spreading to Egypt, now happening. Even in places like Libya, we're seeing protests where even a month ago, people probably would not have thought that there were going to be protests in Libya.
Yeah, and of course, and now we're seeing it in Iran, of all places. Now, that's nothing new. Back in 2009, we know that the Iranians had to deal with this, too. They're coming down a lot harder than a lot of governments in the Middle East on their protesters. Well, what do you think? Are we going to see, is this the beginning of the equivalent of a reformation in the Middle East?
I think it's a little bit too early to, you know, start equating what's happening in the Middle East now with, for example, what happened in Eastern Europe in the at the end of the 1980s, beginning of the 1990s, when we saw mass popular revolutions there for that led to democratization in many cases. But I think it does sort of serve notice to a lot of the authoritarian regimes that they have to pay more attention to the needs of their people. I think it, you know, for the activists in the Middle East that have been working for decades towards this type of moment, it's certainly encouraging. I think we'll definitely at least see liberalization of those regimes, maybe a decrease in corruption, an opening up to more political dialogue. But it's a little bit too soon to say that we're going to have, you know, a blossoming of full-fledged democracy.
So we saw, you know, we certainly saw a transformation in Egypt. Now, the democratic protesters in Iran, I mean, can they overcome a violent and repressive regime that's willing to kill its people to stay in power? I mean, and with that, the second question I would have is, you know, regarding extremists, with is that fear warranted as far as, you know, these people that are looking for democracy? Could that end up, you know, crashing in their faces into some more extreme regime?
You know, Iran has been much more heavy-handed in its response, and that jibes with its history in the past several years. I mean, there have been protests going on in Iran for quite some time now. But there, if you look to other regions of the world, there seems to be a breaking point at which point either the security services get tired of killing off their own people, and there becomes a critical mass of people who become unhappy with the status quo, and then when you get, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people in the street, it's, you can't, even a very repressive regime can't actually just kill them all off.
Well, we're definitely going to keep an eye on it, as I know you will. Dr. Amy Pate, she is the director of Minorities and At-Risk Project at the University of Maryland. Doctor, thanks a lot for making time for us today on America's Radio News.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about, well, all the uprisings that are springing up from the unrest in Tunisia and Egypt. You just heard us talking about it. We'll give you the latest on three other nations that have joined in this popular uprising in the Middle East.
That's right, and a showdown under the dome continues as Republicans blast the president's budget.
And the Voice of America radio broadcast, putting in real news into places like China, well, it's getting cut. Who made that decision to cut off a vital news source to those over in China? We'll bring you the update coming up right here on America's Radio News. This is where the nation's news breaks.
Broadcasting from the nation's capital, where we catch the news before it gets away. This is America's Radio News. Give you what you want. Ignore what you don't. This is America's Radio News.
We're staring at 34 minutes past the bottom of the hour, the top of the hour, I should say. We are at the bottom of the hour. It's America's Radio News. Glad to have you on board, even though I've seemed to have lost my mind. I'm Chris Salcedo.
We'll look for it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. Great to have you with us. It's Wednesday, February 16th. Here's what's happening.
Republicans will not punt. Everything's on the table. And we will put forward a budget that deals with the big challenges that face our country.
Bread and butter issues, but will Republicans put entitlements on the table?
I mean, you know, they don't have a budget plan, and the public knows it. The president can't do that. He has to have a plan.
One Democrat tells Republicans to walk their talk when it comes to the budget.
It's very predictable where this is going to go. It's going to go to horrible places.
And can Charlie Sheen resurrect himself and his reputation?
We're circling the globe and sweeping the nation to bring you all the latest news.
Here we are in the middle of the week. It's all downhill, meaning downhill into the weekend from here, Lori London.
Looking forward to that, Chris Salcedo. Well, thousands of protesters took over a main square in Bahrain's capital, carting in tents and raising banners in another bold attempt to copy Egypt's uprising and force high-level changes in one of Washington's key allies in the Gulf, the king there, making a rare address to offer condolences for bloodshed that occurred the other day. Uprisings also now in Libya and Iran, which is calling for a day of hatred. The leaders there calling for a day of hatred against reformists for this Friday.
The Obama administration will cancel shortwave radio broadcasts by Voice of America into China this year as Beijing is expanding its propaganda operations in the United States and around the world. Critics of the broadcasting cuts said major reductions in staff and shortwave broadcasts will sharply curtail an important outlet for unfiltered news and information for large numbers of people in China, especially areas such as Tibet.
Well, U.S. housing starts rose more than expected in January to their highest rate in 4 months, but permits for future home construction dropped sharply after hefty gains the prior month. That, according to a new government report showing the housing market still bouncing along the bottom. The Commerce Department says housing starts jumped 14.6%.
And from MSNBC.com, an Iraqi defector who went to by the codename of Curveball has publicly admitted for the first time that he made up stories about the mobile bioweapons trucks and secret factories to try to bring down Saddam Hussein's regime. I had a problem with Saddam's regime, said Rafid Ahmed Al-Wajanbi, who fled Iraq in 1995, and he told that to the Guardian newspaper. He wanted to get rid of him, and now he had a chance. The informant was used in part of the U.S. justification for the invasion in Iraq in 2003. The admission is a blow to hardcore left-wing protesters of the war who said that President Bush actually lied to bring us to war in Iraq.
Well, Senate Democrats have unveiled a jobs and competitiveness agenda, but in a surprise move, the leaders are also embracing a deficit reduction component. Democrats will embrace President Obama's 5-year domestic discretionary spending freeze, a move the White House estimates will save over $400 billion over 10 years. Democrats expected to promise any new spending be offset with equivalent reductions in spending.
Sure, Virginia Senator candidate, senatorial candidate, I should say. I can get this out. George Allen. He told Judge Andrew Napolitano that he supports the line item veto and holding the debt limit exactly where it is.
Would you vote to let the president borrow $1.6 trillion, or would you vote to keep the debt ceiling where it is?
I'd vote to keep the debt ceiling where it is, and any sort of vote has to have ironclad ways of reducing spending. I think it needs to be linked to spending cuts. And then another thing that I've been a strong advocate for is binding them down with the chains of the Constitution so that they can't load future generations with onerous debt. And that means a vote on the balanced budget requirement in the Constitution, as well as line item veto authority. When I was in the Senate, I was one of about a dozen who voted against that bridge to nowhere in Alaska. Well, if the president had line item veto authority, he could knock that out. And I know as a governor, we lived under a balanced budget requirement.
Right.
And so do families. So do businesses. So must the federal government.
Well, I agree with him there. But my question is, haven't top economists said that it would be catastrophic to not raise the debt limit? I mean, this could hurt the dollar.
Yeah,
it could hurt our
full faith and
our credit rating.
Yeah, the full faith and credit.
And
in
that
the
would
States.
Be that would be catastrophic. Well, Congressman Elliot Engel says the only way to balance the budget is to hike up taxes.
I believe it's unconscionable to give a tax break to the top 2% of earners, and unconscionable to remove the estate tax from the top 0.1% of earners. At the same time, you're cutting back programs that are vital to working people, to the middle class, to students, cutting these kinds of things. So the question is, you know, where are our priorities?
Yeah,
I don't like to
beat
for more taxes.
You saw the headline yesterday morning, Congressman. $1.65 trillion overspending this year, the year that we're in, $1.65 trillion. It's not just a question of raising taxes on the rich. It's not just a question of that. You have to cut how much money our government is spending. You can tax the rich. Got it. But you've got to say, we must reduce spending. And we've got to do it drastically.
Depends what you mean by drastically. We need to have a tax structure that's fair and equitable, that doesn't hurt people who are struggling along, working class people. I think it's better to give a tax break to the middle class than it is to give a tax break to the upper levels.
According to the Internal Revenue Service, which is in charge of keeping this stuff, you know, pretty much handy at top of mind, the 25% of wage earners here in this country, the top 25%, they pay 86% of the federal tax load. The top 50% pay 97% of all taxes here in the country. So the people that are on the lower rung, the lower 50%, only are responsible for 3% of the tax burden. I think what was at stake here was Mr. Engel understanding that the upper income folks are already paying the lion's share, that maybe Congress and our government ought to look inwards and actually how much they are spending before they say, well, we're going to continue to spend, and so we're going to continue to, you know, basically, what do they call it? Killing the goose that lays the golden egg, as it were, and continue to place the burden for their spending on those that are producing in this country.
But I think that the Democrats would probably argue, you know, why are the rich getting tax breaks and the poor are hurting?
Yep. Hey, guess what? She's back. Helen Thomas back in the spotlight. Now she's weighing in on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Helen, now a columnist for the Fall Church News, says that America is not on God's side.
We do have to change our attitudes. We have to be better to the Palestinians, be more fair in the Middle East. I mean, our reputation is not great in the Arab world or North Africa. We've not always been on God's side.
What do we need to be talking about here that we're currently not discussing?
You can't talk about Israel. That's off limits in this whole country. If you say so, you're anti-Semitic, you're this and that, you're for the Holocaust, and you're for Hitler, and all of this nuts, this baloney that's been fed to the American people. I have a right to take a stand for decency and kindness to people, and people who live under occupation, under the heel of occupiers, I'll always be sympathetic to.
Well, we're all sympathetic to people that are in repressive environments.
Here's a woman that used to be part of the White House press corps, who said in an interview...
Sat in the front seat.
Yeah, who said in an interview that she didn't know how journalists could be anything but liberal. And her interviewer said, well, how about unbiased, right down the middle? And she said, well, it never ends up in my copy. It never ends up in my copy, she said. But, man.
How old is that woman now?
I don't know.
Upper 80s, I would think. I thought for sure maybe after the way she ended her White House correspondent career, she would sort of maybe...
It's impolite for somebody like me to ask her how old she is.
Oh, that's true.
It's America's Radio News, ladies and gents. Coming up here, the federal workforce, it is getting bigger and bigger as President Obama continues to cost taxpayers millions. We'll tell you the story.
Well, the Arab uprisings continue to spread as Libyans now take to the streets in Egypt, inspired protests calling for the ouster of Muammar Gaddafi.
And a report says Lady Gaga was cuckoo before the Grammys. We'll give that to you. Coming up next, right here on America's Radio News, it's where the nation's news breaks.
Breaking news and the interviews everybody else will talk about. This is America's Radio News. For more information, go to AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com. That's AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com. When we turn on the light, the insects run and hide. This is America's Radio News.
This is where you can hear about it now instead of reading about it tomorrow. I'm Chris Salcedo, and this is America's Radio News.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. Thanks for being with us. It's Wednesday, February 16th. Well, putting his own stamp on a longstanding Republican priority, President Obama's launching a drive to overhaul state medical malpractice laws and cut down on wasteful tests doctors perform because they fear lawsuits. Obama's budget calls for $250 million in Justice Department grants to help states rewrite their malpractice laws in line with recommendations that his bipartisan debt reduction commission issued last year.
Well, the federal workforce will continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger as Obamacare continues to cost taxpayers millions. The Internal Revenue Service says it will need a battalion of 1,054 new auditors and staffers and new facilities at a cost to taxpayers of more than $359 million in fiscal year 2012 just to watch over the initial implementation of President Obama's health care reforms. Among the new corps will be 81 workers assigned to make sure tanning salons pay a new 10% excise tax. Their cost, $11.5 million.
A new study suggests a way to help men with early low-risk prostate cancer avoid being overtreated for a disease that in most cases will never threaten their lives. It found that a drug can slow the growth of the tumors in men who opt to be monitored instead of having treatment right away. This is the first time that a drug for treating enlarged prostates also has been shown to help treat prostate cancer in a rigorous study.
One report says that Lady Gaga was cuckoo before the Grammys. It seems that singer Lady Gaga, who arrived at the Grammys, remember, in that egg-shaped vessel? Well, she says she spent 72 hours in the thing. It was a very creative experience, Gaga told Us magazine. Her unconventional arrival drew mixed reactions, but Gaga says it was a necessary part of her Born This Way premiere.
Borders bookstores sunk by crushing debt and sluggishness in adapting to the rapidly changing industry filed bankruptcy protection Tuesday. The 40-year-old company plans to close about 200 of its 642 stores over the next few years. All of those stores that will be closed are superstores.
Guess who's back?
Who?
Roseanne Barr.
Oh.
Returning to TV in a new Lifetime docuseries as she sets out to, believe it or not, run a macadamia nut farm in Hawaii.
I'm sorry.
You know, there are all kinds of jokes with nuts and Roseanne Barr that we can make, but we're not going there. The program will follow Barr as she runs 40-acre nut farm on Hawaii's Big Island, along with her writer-musician boyfriend, Johnny Agent, and her son, Jake.
That's must-see
TV right
different.
There.
That's different. We're going to watch nuts being
harvested.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's harvest the budget now. At a hearing with White House Budget Director Jacob Lew, Senator Jeff Sessions fired back at President Obama's plans for the budget and the fact that it won't reduce our deficit.
I don't disagree that we have to take on the debt and we have to pay down the debt and reduce the interest payments. And the only thing I take issue with...
Does this budget do it?
I think we get to the point where we stop.
Does it do it?
It gets us to the point where we stop adding to the problem with our new spending. And that's
debt goes up every year, and the deficit is increased, doubled over this period.
I just think that if we're going to have the kind of conversation we need to have to resolve this, we have to have it in a way where we respect each other. And I respect your position, Senator.
Well, I can't respect a position that suggests this budget reduces the debt. If you take that position, we're talking beyond each other. The Wall Street Journal said about this budget, we stop adding to the debt with our new spending.
We do have interest payments. We have to control those interest payments in the future. There's a down payment. We have to finish the job.
Well, forgive me, Mr. Chairman, but this is I don't think it's a matter of opinion. I believe, Mr. Liu, it's flatly in error. And it cannot continue, and I hope the President and he never repeats that this budget balances at any point in the 10 years.
He says he balances the budget with new spending. He stops deficit spending with the new spending. Is that what he said? I'm encircled.
I'm a little confused, but I will say Sessions got a little spunky.
Spunky! Is that your professional opinion?
That's my professional opinion.
Okay.
And I'm making up words as I go along
there
here,
you
too.
Go. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, he faced tough opposition from the House Ways and Means Committee yesterday over President Obama's new budget. This time it came from a Democrat. Congressman Charlie Rangel positioned Geithner to slam the tax cuts for the wealthy at a time of rapidly increasing debt.
The insistence on the overall tax increase for the upper income did increase the deficit, and that money was borrowed in order to do it. And so to come back now and to talk about savings, it seems to be a dramatic inconsistency in supporting both of those themes.
Those temporary tax cuts were expensive. We can't afford to make them permanent. And I agree that if we're going to make cuts in spending, as we have to do, we want to make sure that those savings go to support investments and cutting future deficits, not sustaining tax cuts for the top 2% of Americans that we can't afford.
Wow. This is not going away anytime soon.
This is turning into a stalemate.
Well, it can't. We've got to get some kind of consensus. $14.2 trillion and growing by leaps and bounds every single day. There cannot be a stalemate on this. They've got to come together and get something done.
Well, Chris, shifting gears a little bit, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton yesterday was speaking about the risks that WikiLeaks poses to our safety during a speech about Internet freedom.
Consider the content of the documents that WikiLeaks made public. Without commenting on the authenticity of any particular documents, we can observe that many of the cables released by WikiLeaks relate to human rights work carried on around the world. Our diplomats closely collaborate with activists, journalists, and citizens to challenge the misdeeds of oppressive governments. It is dangerous work. By publishing diplomatic cables, WikiLeaks expose people to even greater risk.
Yep. And you know what? Trump in
2012.
Is it a possibility? Let's listen.
I am incredibly tempted. I'll be making a decision by June. And, we're going to see what happens.
What factors into this, though?
Very simple thing. Okay. I love this country. I hate what's happening to this country. It's just different. It's not like even when I was growing up, whether it was Ronald Reagan or somebody else, Eisenhower, Reagan, you look at some of the, and I'm not even saying some of the presidents, some of the times, during these times, we were really a respected country. Now China's ripping us off. I mean, we are rebuilding single-handedly China because we buy so much of their product. It's just like what's going on is just insane. And you go to China, you see these cities rising out of nothing. And of course, it's worldwide money, but it's really this country's money is rebuilding China. But we can't rebuild our own cities.
The Donald will make for a lively contest.
I am almost hoping he gets the nomination just so I can see he and President Obama, going at the lectern at each other on their debates. That would be something to watch. Just for the spectacle.
And we'd have another hot first lady.
America's radio news continues as we talk next to Mr. Bill Gertz. He is the geopolitics editor for the Washington Times. That is going to be a very interesting conversation.
And the domino effect in full force as the uprising in Egypt continues to spread.
And the Democrats, they join the GOP in criticism of President Obama's budget. It's all coming your way next on America's Radio News. This is where the nation's news breaks.
from the nation's capital. If it happens in America or anywhere in the world, you'll hear about it first here, right here, now. Your anchors, Chris Salcedo and Lori London.
America's Radio News Network.
We're looking at 6 minutes past the top of the hour. This is America's Radio News. Happy you're on board. I'm Chris Salcedo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. Great to have you with us. It's Wednesday, February 16th. Here's what's happening.
So what we've done is we've taken a scalpel to the discretionary budget rather than a machete.
The president says dealing with our debt requires delicate surgery.
We need to have a tax structure that's fair and equitable, that doesn't hurt people.
In the battle over the budget, both sides think the other's priorities are all wrong.
I am incredibly tempted. I'll be making a decision by June. And, we're going to see what happens.
And the Donald continues hinting about future presidential ambitions.
We're sweeping the nation and circling the globe to bring you all the breaking news.
Read one.
And it is a beautiful sunshiny day here in the nation's capital where we are coming to you live. Lori London, hi.
Hi, Chris Salcedo. Welcome. Glad to be with you and all of you out there on this beautiful sunny Wednesday in the nation's capital. Well, Israel monitoring two Iranian warships about to pass through the Suez Canal for Syria. And they're warning they might act. Israel's foreign minister says Israel cannot ignore these provocations. He also added the warships are a provocation that proves Iran's nerve and self-esteem is growing from day to day.
This is no mystery. The Middle East has been a hotspot for sure. And these popular uprisings seem to be spreading to three other countries. First off, in Bahrain. Hours after thousands of protesters poured into this nation's symbolic center, Pearl Square, hundreds of people carried pro-democracy protests into a third straight day today, joining a procession to mourn a demonstrator killed in a clash with security forces. In Libya, hundreds of Libyans have staged an anti-government protest in the country's second-largest city of Benghazi, chanting slogans denouncing Libyan leaders and fighting with police. And Iran, Iran's cleric establishment, has called for a major rally in Tehran on Friday to express what it calls its hatred of reformists who organized a day of major anti-government protests earlier this week.
Well, a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent was killed and another wounded in the line of duty yesterday while driving through northern Mexico. The two agents were driving when they were stopped at what appeared to be a military checkpoint. After they stopped, someone opened fire on them.
It is a big battle going on right now here on Capitol Hill, and Republican senators and Democratic senators are weighing in on the budget battle. Senator Roy Blunt says that President Obama's new proposed budget doesn't do nearly enough to knock down our deficit to a manageable level.
When President Obama unveiled his budget, he said he was optimistic about getting a bipartisan agreement on it. Is that optimism warranted?
Wouldn't think so. I think this budget does not do nearly enough, quick enough, and we're looking at long-term budget. If you take his numbers, which also include a lot of tax increases that don't occur and some Medicare cuts that I doubt if they occur, but even if you take his budget, the 10-year savings is less than this year's deficit. They just can't continue to do that. Look at these two numbers, $3.7 trillion, $2.2 trillion. 3.7 is what we're spending this year. 2.2 is what we're taking in. But the president also, as part of this budget package, essentially in the last couple of days announced, well, it's not 3.7, it's actually 3.8. So there's another $120 or so billion we're spending that we didn't think we were spending 30 days ago. So I don't think the president goes far enough, and I don't think most Republicans are going to believe that either.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think Republicans are crying foul on Mr. Obama's budget because at the end of the day, we are still looking at record trillion-dollar deficits, especially for this year. We're going to set another record as far as deficits go. And I've heard a lot of people asking this, why are we spending more money than we have? Can we just stop that?
My question is, and I think many or some Democrats are asking, what are Republicans, are they proposing enough to lower the deficit?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, Harry Reid is making news again, Senator Harry Reid. He says that Republican Senator Rand Paul's proposed budget cuts to the FAA would terrorize air safety.
Every country virtually in the world has GPS. Mongolia has it. We don't. So we spent some time in our caucus talking about the devastating cuts to Central Air Service, to safety inspectors. They would just have, a number of them would not be able to be hired. Construction going on with airport towers around the country would have to be terminated. It's a safety issue. It's a security issue. If you're concerned about this Rand Paul amendment, think of what happened in the devastation with the Twin Towers in New York. Talking about air safety, certainly the American public deserves more than what they have now. This legislation will do this, and the Rand Paul amendment will just terrorize the air traffic system in our country. It'll just do it great harm.
Well, more and more we are hearing reports of midair collisions and air traffic controllers sleeping on the job. So I'm wondering if he's, you know, really, if they are in fact really looking to cut funding to the FAA, that could be, that could hurt.
I was at an event last night with Human Events, and I spoke to Senator Rand Paul, and he was actually addressing the criticism levied against him by Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. And it's completely outlandish. He's not talking about doing away with the FAA. He just wants the money to be spent a little bit better. It's his contention that the money is being misspent across all agencies of the federal government because they've gotten too big, and he's wanting some more accountability in that regard. And for Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to equate the Twin Towers falling down to a delinquency in funding for the FAA, I think is just absolutely outlandish and goes beyond the pale. Let's move on to another prominent Democrat. Her name is Nancy Pelosi. And she is, of course, weighing in, and she fired back on Speaker John Boehner's comments on the budget yesterday, criticizing his position on job losses.
Republicans want to eliminate $75 million. It's an initiative that offers housing vouchers to our homeless vets. It's a very effective initiative. Republicans want to cut it. And is it a statement of our values to deprive women of primary care? When it comes to health and education, Republicans put women and children last. Republicans have not presented a responsible plan for addressing the deficit. Democrats do not subscribe to Speaker Boehner's verdict that if jobs are lost in this continuing resolution, so be it. Maybe so be it for him, but not so be it for the people who are losing their jobs. Instead, we support President Obama's budget to out-innovate, out-educate, and out-build the rest of the world.
And Nancy Pelosi was taking John Boehner out of context there. Mr. Boehner actually said that there have been so many federal government jobs added under this administration that if we had to cut back and get rid of some of those jobs that had been added by Barack Obama and the democratically controlled Congress, then so be it. That's what he was talking about. He's not talking about private sector jobs. He's talking about federal government employees that have been added over and above since Mr. Obama took office.
What regarding the women's issues was Pelosi referring to? Was she referring to the proposal to cut funding for abortion in several bills that are
circulating?
She
might have been referring to that because the GOP says that that funding abortions isn't the right. It shouldn't be done by the taxpayer. That's what they're contending anyway. America's Radio News continues here, and we're going to talk to Bill Gertz. He's the geopolitics editor of the Washington Times. We're going to talk to him about this canceling of the funding for the Voice of America broadcast into China.
And the Somali pirate who attacked a U.S. flagged ship in 2009, sentenced to over 33 years in prison.
And Governor Chris Christie, he's in town. We'll tell you what that's all about next on America's Radio News. It's where the nation's news breaks.
The big stories and the hot topics are all we talk about. Keep it right here, and you won't miss a thing on America's Radio News.
For more information, go to AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com. That's AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com.
If it breaks in this town, we dig deep till we know the truth. This is America's Radio News.
If you want to get informed, boy, have you come to the right place. It's America's Radio News coming to you live from the nation's capital. I'm Chris Salcedo.
And I'm Lori London. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, a new study suggests a way to help men with early low-risk prostate cancer avoid being overtreated for the disease that, in most cases, will never threaten their lives. It found that a drug can slow the growth of the tumors in men who opt to be monitored instead of having treatment right away. This is the first time a drug for treating enlarged prostates also has been shown to help treat prostate cancer in this rigorous study.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is bringing his blunt talk about fiscal responsibility to Washington today in a speech sure to stoke speculation about his national prospects, which have intensified in recent weeks as some Republicans openly fret about the strength of their 2012 field. As a matter of fact, Governor Christie is speaking right now in some places in D.C. We're trying to get a beat on exactly where he is at. But like Christie himself, the message he'll deliver today at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute is unorthodox and straightforward. He accuses both parties, Democrats and Republicans, of timidity in the face of the coming fiscal calamity.
He's one to watch, Chris. He's definitely an up-and-comer. Well, Lance Armstrong is calling this one Retirement 2.0, almost a month after finishing 65th in his last competitive race in Australia, nearly 6 years removed from the last of an unprecedented seven straight Tour de France titles. The 39-year-old has made it clear there's no reset button this time. He says he is leaving professional racing behind for good as retirement ends a comeback effort that failed to produce an eighth title, or diminished talk that performance-enhancing drugs may have helped his career.
Let's get on over to the America's Radio Newsline. There awaiting us is Bill Gertz, the great Bill Gertz. He's the geopolitics editor for the Washington Times. And Mr. Gertz, welcome to America's Radio News.
Welcome.
Hi, good to be with you.
Hey, sir, you wrote an article about some funding being canceled by the Voice of America. Wanted you to comment on that briefly, if you could.
Sure, yeah, this is an amazing story. The Obama administration has decided to cancel all Voice of America broadcasts into China later this year. The idea is they're going to save $8 million out of a $757 million budget, and a lot of critics, especially on Capitol Hill and within the agency itself, are saying that this is a bad thing to do because it's coming at a time when China is expanding its propaganda activities both in the United States and abroad.
So we've got a budget battle brewing, and Republicans are calling for cuts, but then the president makes some cuts, and folks are not happy with the cuts that he's making, and there's another uproar over that. So tell us why Americans should care about this issue.
Well, the threat from China is growing, and certainly what this cut of shortwave radio broadcast, what they're doing is actually shifting from radio broadcast to internet broadcasting. And what this means is that in the places where those broadcasts are really needed, like Xinjiang in western China, where there are Uyghurs seeking democracy, or Tibet, where the Tibetans are seeking independence from China, they won't be able to get the pro-democracy message of Voice of America. That's, you know, if you're going to cut, this is not the place to cut the budget.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to point out here, Mr. Gertz, that who the audience is, because they're talking about switching from terrestrial broadcasting to internet broadcasting, but as the government in Egypt, and in fact, China just recently, with these uprisings, they kill the internet with great regularity. So let's just say, for argument's sake, that all of China was wired with high-speed internet, which it's not, that the government has the ability to shut down the internet. So what good does that do?
You're exactly right, and that's the point that a lot of these critics have been making, is that China has shown an uncanny ability to be able to control and censor the internet, and not just the internet, but also mobile phones, which are another source of free messaging through text messages. They've made this idea that they're going to shift in that direction, in particular because China has refused to cooperate in allowing the U.S. to set up what they call affiliate stations. In other words, they have a satellite broadcast, and then it's downlinked to affiliates that can then rebroadcast it in AM and FM. So they're stuck with short wave, which the Chinese have been jamming. And so what this means is that a large portion of China's 1.3 billion people aren't going to be able to get this important message at a time when there's a growing call around the world for greater openness, greater freedom, greater democracy.
So Voice of America basically is the Chinese people's only real way to get actual, genuine, unfiltered news?
Pretty much right now. And in terms of getting through the what they call the Great Firewall of China, there there are some methods that they can use to circumvent the internet controls. But when it comes to radio broadcasts, there is some evidence, and I talked to some officials yesterday who elaborated on this. They said, for example, in 2009, there was unrest in western China, and at that point, the Chinese cut off both cell phone and internet access, and the only way people could get real information on what was going on was from the Voice of America and other outside broadcasts.
All right, we'll see if the administration continues with its efforts to cut this. Mr. Gertz, geopolitics editor for the Washington Times, thanks a lot for being on America's Radio News and bringing this to our attention.
Thank you very much.
Coming up here next, the Democrats, they are joining the GOP and their criticism of President Obama's budget.
And the president warning of a government shutdown if Republicans stall his budget.
And Ralph Peters, a Fox News strategic analyst, we're going to talk to him about the Muslim Brotherhood's prospects in Egypt. It's all coming up next on America's Radio News. This is where
all
the nation's
news
breaks.
And hot topics when we come back to America's Radio News. If it breaks in this town, we dig deep till we know the truth. This is America's Radio News.
34 minutes past the top of the hour. It's America's Radio News. This is where you come to if you want to get informed. I'm happy you're along. I'm Chris Salcedo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. It's Wednesday, February 16th. Here's what's happening.
So what we've done is we've taken a scalpel to the discretionary budget rather than a machete.
The president says dealing with our debt requires delicate surgery.
We need to have a tax structure that's fair and equitable, that doesn't hurt people.
In the battle over the budget, both sides think the other's priorities are all wrong.
I am incredibly tempted. I'll be making a decision by June. And, we're going to see what happens.
And the Donald continues hinting about future presidential ambitions.
We're sweeping the nation and circling the globe to bring you all the breaking news. And it's breaking here in the nation's capital and all over the world. Hello, Lori London.
Hello, Chris Salcedo. And thanks to all of you for being with us today. Well, thousands of protesters took over a main square in Bahrain's capital in a bold attempt to copy Egypt's uprising and force high-level changes in one of Washington's key allies in the Gulf, the king making a rare address to offer condolences for bloodshed that occurred yesterday. Meanwhile, uprisings spreading in Iran, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, and Tunisia. Iranian leaders are calling for a day of hatred against reformists for this Friday.
Some Democrats have joined Republicans yesterday in criticizing President Obama's budget request for doing little to bring down the national debt. Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad, a Democrat from North Dakota, faulted Obama for not taking on entitlement reform, suggesting that the administration was not being serious enough about reducing the deficit. And Senator Chris Coons, a Democrat from Delaware, said President Obama should have followed through on the recommendations of his own debt commission, which in December proposed nearly $4 trillion in cuts over the next decade that included reforms to Medicare, Social Security, and the tax code.
Well, Israel monitoring two Iranian warships about to pass through the Suez Canal for Syria, and Israel is warning they may act. Israel's foreign minister says Israel cannot ignore provocations. This as Iran announced plans to deploy the warships near Israel and dock at a Syrian port for a year.
The Middle East is in an uproar right now. Let's head over to America's Radio Newsline. Ralph Peters, he's a Fox News strategic analyst and the author of The Officers Club. He is standing by. Sir Ralph Peters, welcome back to America's Radio News.
Hey, it's always great to talk to y'all.
Hey, nice to have you on, sir. And I wanted to talk to you about, it seems the one that really galvanized the world's attention was what happened in Egypt, and talk to you about the Muslim Brotherhood. It is forming a political party, we are told. It's been confirmed. Where do we see them and how much influence are they going forward as Egypt tries to develop what we're told is a democracy?
Okay, the Muslim Brotherhood will have a significant but not dominant role in Egypt going forward.
Explain that.
It's part of society. I personally prefer to have them running for office and see them in parliament where we know who they are, where they have to perform, where they have to deliver for the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better to have all the factions represented in Egypt's new parliament, assuming everything goes well, because you don't want disaffected people. You don't want it to break down into terrorism and street fighting, etc. I have no worries whatsoever about the Muslim Brotherhood taking over in Egypt. I don't like those guys. I have no sympathy for them. But I don't worry about it for two reasons. The big reason is the army will not let it happen. Egypt's army is not Islamist. They will not allow a Muslim Brotherhood takeover. The second reason is that the people who really made this revolution, which, by the way, took the Muslim Brotherhood by surprise, every bit as much as it surprised the Obama administration, this revolution was very much a middle-class and lower middle class revolution in the streets. These were college graduates who can't get jobs, people disgusted with the corruption, people who want to have some say in their own future, who'd had enough. And by the way, while this was basically a flash mob revolution, the first one, along with Tunisia's, there were deep roots. And one of the factors that I believe strongly influenced this revolution was George W. Bush's overthrow of Saddam and the advent of Iraqi democracy, however flawed it may be, and it is flawed. Nonetheless, Egyptians, who pride themselves as being the elite of the Arab world and look at the Iraqis as yokels, looked at democracy in Baghdad, but there's no democracy in Cairo.
Well, sir, I've heard it being said that what happens in Egypt will affect what happens in other Arab nations. And we're seeing this spreading like wildfire, this democracy movement beginning in the Middle East and parts of Africa. What do you make of this? Do you think it's possible that we could see a predominantly democratic Middle East? I mean, a few months ago, we wouldn't even been talking about this.
Well, I think it's going to be many years until we see a predominantly democratic Middle East. And not all the democracies we will eventually see in the Middle East are going to look like ours. These countries have radically different histories, profoundly different cultures in many respects. For instance, Egypt is relatively urbanized and urbane.
Mm-hmm.
Yemen is the Ozarks 100 years ago, with the civil war still going on. You know, it's just they're profoundly different. Syria has one set of problems. Lebanon's a one-off. Algeria's got a different history and problem set. But I think the common denominator is that in this world of the hyper-availability of information and communications means, dictators can no longer hide what they do or fail to do from their people.
Yep.
And so what we're seeing here really is a genuine popular movement. People who definitely want more freedom and they want more economic opportunity. They don't necessarily want all of our freedoms, but they do want change, and it's our job to recognize the inevitability of change and try to intelligently exploit the situation instead of trying to cling to the past.
We're talking with Ralph Peters. He's a Fox News strategic analyst and the author of The Officers Club, a book that I am fully intending on reading here in the next couple of weeks. Mr. Peters, I want to bring you back home for a minute. I know primarily you've been focused on what's going on over there in the Middle East, but I know that you have you've also been paying cursorily so what's going on, paying attention to what's happening on our southern border, what's being called the Third War. We have Janet Napolitano coming out and saying that the border has never been safer, and over the weekend we now learned that 30 people were killed in drug cartel violence. What's your read on what's happening on our southern border?
Well, one big difference between the Middle East and northern Mexico is that the Middle East is a much safer place. In less than 5 years, almost 35,000 Mexicans have been killed in the narco-insurgency in northern and other parts of Mexico, but primarily concentrated in the north. The violence has spilled over onto our side of the border. It will continue to do so. I called this back in the mid-90s in a government report I did for our government, and this was inevitable, and nobody wanted to hear it. But at any rate, I did more recently, in the last couple of years, call one thing wrong. I really thought the narcos would keep their hands off of the little retiree enclaves populated by Americans and Canadians,
mm-hmm.
because they're so lucrative. They bring so much money to the Mexican economy. But now, in the last month, we've started to see problems around Guadalajara and other areas that are basically largely financed by American retirees. The retirees I know down there were always confident, and now they're terrified. So, look, Janet Napolitano is either a liar, a fool, or a very foolish liar. Our border is not more safe than it has ever been. That is absolute nonsense. Look, even just because some of the druggies use the cross-border cities such as El Paso as safe zones where they can park their families or hide money and buy houses, doesn't mean it's safe, for God's sake. Now, and it's a curious case because, by the way, El Paso has a very low murder rate.
Yep.
Yep. But that's because the druggies use it as a safe haven.
Yeah, and Ralph Peters, man, you are an expert on a lot of things, man. You wear many hats, and that's why we have you here on America's Radio News. Thanks
as long
once again.
As not a dunce cap.
There you go. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise once again, sir. We'll get you back on here soon because this Middle East thing definitely not
Great.
Going away. Neither is that border situation. Coming up here on America's Radio News, Catholics, they're rethinking this whole celibacy rule. We'll give you that story.
And the showdown under the dome continues as Republicans blast the president's budget.
And a ban on smokeless tobacco in America's pastime. Say it isn't so. Let's talk about it next right here on America's Radio News. It's where the nation's news breaks.
The campaign for 2012 has already started, and we're right in the middle of it. Keep it set right here to America's Radio News.
For more information, go to AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com. That's AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com.
If we break the story, you know you've got the details right.
America's Radio News Network.
Get ready to get informed. It's America's Radio News. I'm happy you're there. Chris Salcedo talking at you with Lori London. Hi, Lori.
Hello, Chris Salcedo, and thanks to all of you for being with us. It's Wednesday, February 16th. Great to have you with us. A Pakistani official says a U.S. consulate employee held for the murder of two men is shielded from diplomatic immunity. This according to Reuters. Raymond Davis has been in custody since January 27th, saying he shot the two Pakistanis in Lahore in self-defense as they tried to rob him.
Well, Catholics, shrinking parishes, drawing number of clergy and taint from the Catholic Church sex abuse scandal are prompting calls in parts of Europe for church leaders to re-examine some of the institution's basic policies. More than 140 Catholic theologians from Germany, Austria, and Switzerland this month published an open declaration to the church, urging officials to phase out the celibacy requirement for priests and implement other drastic reforms such as ordaining women, allowing divorce, and recognizing same-sex couples.
Well, U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords has not yet been told the details of a January 8th shooting spree in Tucson that wounded her and 12 others and killed six people, including a staff member. This according to her chief of staff, who says she can carry on simple conversations and knows there was a traumatic event, but has not been told about the severity of the wounds to others and that this will happen in time when she's at a higher level of communication.
Could there be a ban on smokeless tobacco in America's pastime? Two Senate Democrats think so. Frank Lautenberg and Dick Durbin of Illinois urged Major League Baseball and players' unions to ban smokeless tobacco like chew and dip. They said it in a letter to Bud Selig, baseball commissioner, and Michael Weiner, the union's executive director, that such products endanger players' health and send a dangerous message to young fans.
They are nasty, but, you know, you're just so used to seeing the baseball players with the chew in their mouths.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
They could get bubble gum. Well, Chris, this one's near and dear to my heart. Japan suspending its annual Antarctic whale hunt because an anti-whaling group is tailing its ship. That according to a government official in Japan who says the hunt has been temporarily suspended since February 10th, due to the actions of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. Sea Shepherd regularly dogs whaling in Japan during their hunts to make their task more difficult and lower the number of whales harvested.
Back here at home, the budget battle is on, and it continues to this day. House Speaker John Boehner and Republicans say they will not punt when it comes to cutting spending.
Republicans will not punt. Everything's on the table, and we will put forward a budget that deals with the big challenges that face our country.
Specifically, Social Security and Medicare?
I'm going to let Paul Ryan and the Budget Committee do their work. But I have no doubts that all of these issues will be on the table.
Speaker Boehner, this year cuts a lot of government programs. Inevitably, jobs will be lost. Government jobs will be lost. Do you have any sort of estimate on how many jobs will be lost through this? And if there is, won't that add to unemployment, the cost of unemployment insurance?
Over the last 2 years, since President Obama has taken office, the federal government has added 200,000 new federal jobs. If some of those jobs are lost in this, so be it. We're broke. It's time for us to get serious about how we're spending the nation's money.
Speaker of the House was, and actually Nancy Pelosi commented on this when that was his now infamous so be it line that people will lose jobs. What he's talking about is that we added 200,000 employee workers that we didn't have the money to pay for in the first place. So if they start cutting back on the funding for those public employees, then so be it. That's what he was saying.
And what I'm interested in is what he said about let's let Paul Ryan do his thing. So
right.
let's see what happens. Let's see if they do actually cut into entitlements or if they take it on.
Yeah, and if you want to talk a little politics here very, very quickly, I mean, you see the dynamic here. The Republicans want the president to lead on this, to take the first step in tackling the real issue, which is entitlements, which is defense spending.
Right.
And now, and I think the president has shown an unwillingness so far to do that.
Correct.
So now the Republicans will say, well, if the president won't lead, I think we're going to lead now. And that's how they're going to progress forward. We'll see where it goes in the coming days.
We will definitely see where it goes. Well, meanwhile, former DNC chair and Governor Howard Dean, Democrat, says the Republican opposition to President Obama's budget is all about hate for science and the environment. And he claims that the budget shows Democrats are fiscally responsible.
When you look at the Republicans, they have really made a huge mistake. They've spent their entire time since they've been here fighting about abortion and health care, and they haven't done a damn thing about jobs or balancing the budget. And then they come out with their budget cut list, and it's sort of the hate list. They hate the environment, so they cut that. They hate science, so they cut that. They don't like people who don't vote for them, so they cut historical black colleges. I mean, you know, they don't have a budget plan, and the public knows it. The president can't do that. He has to have a plan. This is a plan. You know, the president's done something that has to be done. We can argue about the particulars. Congress will argue about the particulars. He's showing leadership. The Republicans are whining and moaning and doing what they do best, which is to complain, but they have nothing constructive to offer.
This continues to be a very partisan issue over cuts to programs that each side feels is important. And it almost seems like, well, you know, whatever cut, whatever program is important to you, well, we want to cut, but we don't want to cut that.
Right.
And Howard Dean now says they're taking on social issues, as in abortion, when they should be focusing on, you know, the bigger cuts. But look, it remains to be seen.
Sure.
Let's see what they do. Let's give them a chance.
But what I'm noticing about Governor Dean's comments and Nancy Pelosi's comments is they get very, very personal. If you object to all the spending, then all of a sudden you hate women or you hate science. And there's just a lot of rhetoric going on between the Democrats. If you dare to oppose a whole bunch more spending proposed by the president, then all of a sudden you're hateful. I don't understand how wanting to be fiscally responsible equates to hate in some of these Democrats' minds, but it seems to be where they go in their rhetoric.
Now, did they say the word, didn't Pelosi hate? Use the word hate, Chris?
No, Mr. Dean did.
Mr. Dean.
Mr. Dean did, yeah. All right. You know, fresh off his Grammy nominations, Justin Bieber, he sat down with Conan O'Brien, where one of the things they discussed was Bieber's visit to the White House and a visit with President Obama. Listen to this.
The first family. You've met the Obamas.
Yeah, that was crazy. They made us like a peek in my movie. They were in my movie a little bit. But the first family, they were really nice. The kids were really nice.
They're big fans.
They actually invited me to the Oval Office. When I met Mr. President, and he was like, well, hello. And then he was like, my daughter Sasha Malia, my wife Michelle, we are so grateful that you are coming to the White House.
That's a pretty good impression.
Yeah. I sound exactly like
him. Yeah. I hope nothing important was going down. Well, that's just...
Yeah.
Egypt was collapsing in the background. He's like, quiet, I'm with Justin Bieber.
I thought Bieber did a pretty good job.
He did, actually. He kind of has that sort of... For a kid, it can only get better from here.
When I sat down with Mr. President, I love that.
He has a new career.
There
the
you
singing
go.
Thing doesn't... doesn't last.
America's radio news continues. We're going to talk about Obamacare. The federal workforce continues to get bigger and bigger, and this new law continues to cost taxpayers millions. We'll tell you about it.
And the Arab uprisings continue to spread as Libyans take to the streets in Egypt, inspired protests calling for the ouster of Muammar Gaddafi.
And Governor Chris Christie, he's in town. He's from New Jersey. You know him. We'll tell you what he's doing in town.
From the nation's capital, If it happens in America or anywhere in the world, you'll hear about it first here, right here. Now, your anchors, Chris Salcedo and Lori London.
America's Radio News Network.
If you want to get informed, you've come to the right place. We call it America's Radio News. Coming to you live from the nation's capital, I'm Chris Salcedo.
And I'm Lori London. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. It's Wednesday, February 16th. Here's what's happening.
He did not tackle the entitlements or suggest any of the other hard decisions that a leader should be willing to tackle.
Republicans continue to call for leadership in bashing the president's budget.
If you're building infrastructure, you're actually creating jobs, which then has a way of people paying money into the Treasury through their taxes, and that then inevitably will reduce the deficit.
A Democrat says, build, baby, build.
My wife, Michelle, we are so grateful that you are coming to the White House.
And Justin Bieber emulates Obama.
We're circling the globe and sweeping the nation to bring you all the latest news.
This is America's Radio News. This is where you come to get informed. And I can tell you right now, we're getting reports from Capitol Hill, Lori London, that they are just all abuzz as they're trying to deal with this budget problem that we're having here in the nation. And it is just, everybody is running all over the place up there at the Capitol.
It's on fire. And we've got lots going on in the Middle East still as well. Thousands of protesters took over a main square in Bahrain's capital in their attempt to copy Egypt's uprising. This, of course, one of Washington's key allies in the Gulf. The king there making a rare address to offer condolences for bloodshed. Two people died yesterday. Uprising also spreading to Iran, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, and Tunisia. And Iranian leaders are calling for a day of hatred against the reformists for this Friday.
Wow. President Obama conceded yesterday that his new budget does not do enough to resolve the nation's long-term fiscal problems, but he counseled patience, suggesting that he would eventually come together with Republicans on a broad deal. But Mr. Obama said at a news conference, any such compromise to address Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and the tax system is months away and will first require an effort to build bipartisan trust, even as Democrats and Republicans battle intensely over how much to cut from the current year's domestic spending.
Well, we are awaiting a State Department statement on the murder of an ICE agent. A U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent was killed yesterday, another wounded in the line of duty while driving through the volatile northern Mexico. The two agents were driving when they were stopped at what appeared to be a military checkpoint, but after they stopped, someone opened fire.
Congressman Paul Ryan, a Republican from Wisconsin, had a testy exchange with White House Budget Director Jacob Lew over President Obama's new budget proposal and Lew's inability to lead on the issue of our deficit.
Why did you duck? I mean, why? Look, if George Bush brought this budget to the House, I would say the exact same thing. You know the drivers of our debt. You understand the issues. I think the fact that the president even gave us this fiscal commission to start with, acknowledge, we agree on the size and the scope and the nature of the problem. Why did you duck? Why are you not taking this opportunity to lead? And if we're right and you're wrong about this, then you'll never reach primary balance. Then the $1.7 trillion you're claiming in extra revenue because of the higher economic growth you're claiming above and beyond what CBO claims doesn't materialize then, and we are in a world of trouble. And I'll just finish with this. What's so frustrating about this is, you know, the drivers of our debt are the entitlement programs, and yet you're doing nothing to address that. I mean, we elect president. Look, we're in different parties. That's fine. But when people elect a president, they expect a president to lead, to take on the country's biggest challenges before they become actually crises. And we all know that this debt is becoming a crisis. And you're not even touching these programs. You're assuming the economy is going to take off in a year in which you're raising taxes everywhere, all over the economy. And if your math doesn't add up, then we're all in a world of hurt, and this will cost us jobs.
You know, Lori London, I'm looking on the just coming about 26 minutes ago, the White House issued a statement saying that the president wants civil and reasonable discussion when it comes to talking about this budget. In the meantime, you've got Governor Dean claiming that Republicans hate science and the environment. That's why they oppose President Obama's budget. You've got Nancy Pelosi saying that the Republicans put women and children last. when they're debating this whole thing. And so, and you heard Mr. Ryan right there. He was just saying, look, we have a disagreement about the numbers. He wasn't making it personal. It seems when the White House is calling for civility in this debate, he ought to be talking to his own Democrats.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think everybody needs to be a little more civilized. And I think that both sides are going to have to work together or nothing is going to happen. And what will be interesting is this, Mr. Ryan clearly stating, you know, he needs to tackle these entitlements. So if the president isn't going to do it, will the Republicans? And that's what we need to wait and see if that will happen.
No true
words. Meanwhile, speaking of presidents or potential presidents, we still don't know if he's going to run for president in 2012. But Donald Trump is certainly not toning down his attacks on President Obama and America's state of affairs right now. But Donald says that countries take advantage of the U.S. because some in our government are, as he puts it, just stupid.
I am incredibly tempted. I'll be making a decision by June. And, we're going to see what happens.
What factors into this, though? What factors
into it? Very simple thing. Okay. I love this country. I hate what's happening to this country. It's just different. It's not like even when I was growing up, whether it was Ronald Reagan or somebody else, Eisenhower, Reagan, you look at some of the and I'm not even saying some of the presidents, some of the times, you know, during these times, we were really a respected country. Now China's ripping us off. I mean, we are rebuilding single-handedly China because we buy so much of their product. It's just like what's going on is just insane. And you go to China, you see these cities rising out of nothing. And of course, it's worldwide money, but it's really this country's money is rebuilding China. But we can't rebuild our own cities. You have highways outside of New York. They're disgusting. They're like third world countries. You go to LaGuardia, it's like an airport from a third world country. And then you go to China and you go to other places in the Middle East. They have airports, the most incredible things you've ever seen. So I see this because I travel. I know all of the people that we're talking about. And I'm not blaming China. If I were China, I'd try to do the same thing. But we have either stupid, foolish, or very heavily lobbied people.
Well, Chris, all I can say is it would certainly be interesting to see a businessman run the country like a business. Maybe he could do a good job.
I think that would be very, very interesting to see. America's Radio News continues. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Diana Furchtgott-Roth. She's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She argues in a recent piece that legal reform can help us stimulate the economy.
And the domino effect in full force as the uprising in Iran is reborn.
And the federal workforce continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger as Obamacare continues to cost the taxpayers millions of dollars. We'll tell you about it coming up next, right here on America's Radio News. It's where the nation's news breaks.
The heartbeat of America
beats first
right here. Stay tuned for news when it breaks and today's top headlines when we come back to America's Radio News.
For more information, go to AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com. That's AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com.
This is America's Radio News Network, where the nation's news breaks first.
This is where you come to get informed. It's America's Radio News, coming to you live from the nation's capital. I'm Chris Salcedo.
And I'm Lori London. Thanks so much for being with us. It's Wednesday, February 16th. Well, in what appears to be a definitive declaration of his status as the designated heir apparent in North Korea, Kim Jong-un has been appointed to a senior position on the National Defense Commission, the country's most powerful body. This, according to a report by a leading newspaper in Seoul. Now, he is, of course, the youngest son of dictator Kim Jong-il, recently named to the post of vice chair of the Defense Commission.
And bringing it back home, breaking in the last hour, the White House says President Barack Obama wants a civil and reasonable discussion with Republicans as he negotiates reductions in Social Security and Medicare spending. The White House spokesman Jay Carney said that making needed changes in the two massive programs will require compromise. He would not set a timetable for those negotiations.
Well, new home construction rose in January, but permits for future building declined during the month. That according to a new government report. Now, housing starts, the number of new homes being built, did rise by 14.6% in January.
The federal workforce continues to get bigger and bigger as Obamacare continues to cost taxpayers millions. The Internal Revenue Service says it will need a battalion of 1,054 new auditors and staffers and new facilities at a cost to taxpayers of more than $359 million in fiscal year 2012 just to watch over the initial implementation of President Obama's health care reforms. Among the new corps will be 81 workers assigned to make sure that tanning salons pay a new 10% excise tax. Their cost? $11.5 million.
Well, Chris, this is a sad story. A judge has granted Mickey Rooney, you know him.
Yes.
A temporary restraining order from his stepson, who's accused in court filings of withholding food and medicine from the 90-year-old veteran actor and meddling in his personal finances. His attorney claims he lived in fear of his stepson. The order also requires that the stepson stay 100 yards away from Rooney and his home.
Wow. All right, back here on Capitol Hill. The budget battle is heating up, and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, she fired back at Speaker John Boehner's comments on the budget yesterday, criticizing his position on job losses.
Republicans want to eliminate $75 million. It's an initiative that offers housing vouchers to our homeless vets. It's a very effective initiative. Republicans want to cut it. And is it a statement of our values to deprive women of primary care? When it comes to health and education, Republicans put women and children last. Republicans have not presented a responsible plan for addressing the deficit. Democrats do not subscribe to Speaker Boehner's verdict that if jobs are lost in this continuing resolution, so be it. Maybe so be it for him. But not so be it for the people who are losing their jobs. Instead, we support President Obama's budget to out-innovate, out-educate, and out-build the rest of the world.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi not exactly being completely honest with her comments there, saying that John Boehner was talking about jobs in general, which Willie, he was talking about the jobs that have been added since President Obama took office, the jobs added to the federal workforce. That's what he was referring to, that if those workforce in the federal government have to be cut, well, then so be it. That's what he said.
Well, former Treasury Secretary Robert Reich defending President Obama's proposed budget by saying Republican cuts would hamper the economic recovery.
If he's just dealing with, as the president is, as are Republicans, just the non-defense discretionary spending, which is really a relatively small portion of the entire federal budget, then we are cutting into home heating oil, we're cutting into community service block grants, cutting into things that poor people, particularly the most vulnerable members of our society, now at a time in our economy when many of these people are more vulnerable than ever, are going to be hurt. And it's just not necessary. You don't want to hurt these people. We are still coming out of the worst economy, the worst recession we've had since the Great Depression, and we shouldn't even be putting these things on the table right now.
Well, you know, I have heard some economists, including Fed Chair Ben Bernanke, saying, you know, we need to cut. We obviously need long-term deficit control, but we have to be very careful because we don't want to do anything to damage this frail recovery we're in.
So. Yeah, I've heard the same thing. Senator Rob Portman, he's a Republican from Ohio, he was grilled on CNN's Jessica Yellen about President Obama's budget and his tenure as the director of the Office of Management and Budget in the Bush administration.
The president just issued his budget, which is a 10-year vision for where the country ought to go. He had an opportunity there, Jessica, to lay out a reasonable way to get spending under control, to deal with not just this annual spending we talked about, which is 12% of the budget, but the bigger picture, which is the mandatory spending, the entitlement programs. He chose not to do it. He took a pass. As they said in the Washington Post editorial today, he ducked the tough issues. It's time for us to get serious.
And so
for the president to say you all are impatient, yeah, people are impatient for him to lay out a vision that makes sense. And if he doesn't do that, it's very difficult.
Sir, your administration, the Bush administration, racked up $1.3 trillion in deficits. So how can you slam the president for something that your administration never took on?
Well, I was the budget director 4 years ago. And on this very week, 4 years ago, I proposed a budget which was balanced over 5 years.
Yeah, and I think that President Bush was long criticized by Democrats for spending excessively, and it is well proven that Mr. Obama is spending even more than President Bush has. So maybe the Republicans contend that they're actually being consistent on saying, hey, if we didn't like it under President Bush, we certainly don't like it under President Obama.
Well, I can't argue with that. Well, Dr. Drew Pinsky of Celebrity Rehab is weighing in on the latest developments surrounding Charlie Sheen's addiction.
This is he's becoming the poster child for distorted thinking and denial. And it's very sad because, you know, listen, it's not about telling somebody how to live their life or the kind of life they need to lead. It's that given the condition he has and the behaviors he's manifesting, the substances that he's relating to, it's very predictable where this is going to go.
Well, you know, Sheen's just made a recent comment claiming he can manage his crack addiction socially. So, yeah, he's got issues.
Hope he gets it under control, man. America's Radio News continues. We're going to talk with Diana Furgate-Roth, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, about legal reform stimulating the economy.
And the budget battle still looming large on Capitol Hill.
And Governor Chris Christie's in town. We'll tell you why coming up next at America's Radio News. This is where the nation's news breaks.
Give you what you want. Ignore what you don't.
This is America's Radio News.
Read about it tomorrow, or you can hear about it right now. It's America's Radio News. Thanks for being on board. I'm Chris Salcedo.
And I'm Lori London. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, February 16th. Here's what's happening.
He did not tackle the entitlements or suggest any of the other hard decisions that a leader should be willing to tackle.
Republicans continue to call for leadership in bashing the president's budget.
If you're building infrastructure, you're actually creating jobs, which then has a way of people paying money into the Treasury through their taxes, and that then inevitably will reduce the deficit.
A Democrat says, build, baby, build.
My wife, Michelle, we are so grateful that you are coming to the White House.
And Justin Bieber emulates Obama.
We're circling the globe and sweeping the nation to bring you all the latest news.
And if I can echo Ozzy Osbourne, what's a Bieber? I know. That was one of the best commercials of Super Bowl. Hey, everybody. Welcome to America's Radio News. This is where the nation's news breaks. Glad to have you on board. Go ahead, Lori London. How are you?
I am good, Chris Salcedo. Thanks to all of you for being with us. Well, thousands of protesters again taking over a main square in Bahrain's capital in a bold attempt to copy Egypt's uprising and force high-level changes in what is one of Washington's key allies in the Gulf. But the uprisings are also spreading to Iran, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, and Tunisia. In Iran, leaders there are calling for a day of hatred against reformists for this Friday.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie bringing his blunt talk about fiscal responsibility to the nation's capital in a speech today, sure to stoke speculation about his national prospects, which have intensified in recent weeks as some Republicans are openly fretting about the strength of the 2012 field. Like Christie himself, the message he delivered at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute was unorthodox and straightforward. He accused both parties, Democrats and Republicans, of timidity in the face of this coming fiscal calamity.
Well, a Pakistani official says a U.S. consulate employee held for the murder of two men is shielded by diplomatic immunity. Raymond Davis has been in custody since January 27th, saying he shot the two Pakistanis in Lahore in self-defense as they tried to rob him.
Now, the economy and the budget on top of mind. Let's get over to America's Radio Newsline. We're talking to Diana Furgate-Roth. She's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. And Diana, welcome to America's Radio News.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
Hey, you wrote an article here recently, very intriguing to me, that you argue in this article that you can, through legal reform, stimulate the United States economy. Can you expand on that?
Yes. The Kauffman Foundation has just brought out a book on how legal reform can increase GDP, and it has 18 different suggestions. And I'm sure all of your listeners know about the paperwork associated with starting a business or filling in taxes. And so what they propose is that if we streamline our system, our legal system, we wouldn't just have around 15 companies a year that could conceivably grow into Microsoft's or Google's. we would have 45 to 75 companies, and that would raise GDP growth by one percentage point from 3 to 4%.
Well, you actually make a pretty good point. And the number one complaint that I hear from business owners, especially in states like New York, California, Illinois, is that it's just so hard in these states because of all the bureaucratic mess that they create there with their local governments. Now, are you talking about it? Are they talking about an initiative on the federal level, or they want this to permeate throughout the states and have the states adopt these things?
Exactly. Well, they want to talk about, well, there are things that the federal government could do. For example, it could have a faster approval process for FDA drugs. It could reform immigration to allow more high-skilled workers to enter the country and start companies. It could have some kind of different kinds of tort reform. It could arrange agreements with universities to bring out the technology that professors have invented in order to get that technology out and have patent protection.
So what do you think about the president's attempts at reform and the budget in general?
I don't think the president has proposed any legal reform in his budget. And the budget, again, has the major problem that we have a big deficit and the budget does nothing to cut it. This fiscal year, the deficit would be $1.6 trillion, and that is too high.
And what do you think about all the infighting back and forth? The Republicans and say they have a better plan. The Democrats say we can only cut so much. What do you see as far, you know, someone who's very economically savvy? Where do you see all this?
Well, I just heard New Jersey Governor Christie at the American Enterprise Institute, and he was making the case that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats have come out with entitlement reform, and that's where the major budget problems are. At least the Republicans have come out with spending cuts this fiscal year, mm-hmm. $100 billion worth of spending. But even they, as a party, now Paul Ryan, the House Budget Committee chairman, has proposed a roadmap for America that would have entitlement reform. But the Republican Party itself hasn't come out with fixes to Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. And Governor Christie said, look, the American people aren't stupid. They know this needs to be done. Leaders got elected, say they were going to fix it, and they should stand up and fix it. And he gave a very compelling speech, which you can see on the American Enterprise Institute website, www.aei.org.
We're talking with Diana Furchgott-Roth. She's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. And you mentioned this whole idea of tort reform. Now, one place where it was conspicuously absent was in Obamacare, or the president's key piece of legislation here domestically. How much do you think tort reform can actually go to saving the United States a ton of money and the taxpayers a ton of money?
Well, I think it could really go far, even if we adopt, say, the principle that some other countries have adopted, loser pays, that would reduce frivolous lawsuits, mm-hmm. and it raises the cost of health care, so it drives some specialties out of business, such as obstetrics. Some rural areas don't have doctors who can deliver babies because the cost of malpractice insurance is so high. So we need to do something about that. And one way to do it would be having competition in insurance. So you could get a lower insurance rate if you promise, for example, not to have punitive damages, not to sue for punitive damages. Even that would reduce the cost of medical care.
She is Diana Furchgott-Roth. You can find her article on realclearmarkets.com. She's a senior fellow with Manhattan Institute. In that article, she's arguing that the reform of our legal system can actually help out the economy. Diana, thanks a lot for being on America's Radio News.
Oh, it's great to be with you, and this legal reform would be costless. I just want to emphasize that.
Oh, yes, well, that's
not
always good.
Not one extra dollar spent out of the budget.
We are looking for costless stuff here in the United States. Appreciate it, Diana. We'll have you on again for sure. America's Radio News continues. The Arizona politics, it's starting to heat up. Joe Arpaio, you know the sheriff out there? He's leading in a poll for the race for Senate.
Interesting. Well, we've got the border agents ambushed in Mexico. One of them is dead. We're waiting on a State Department statement on this.
And a report says that Lady Gaga was a bit cuckoo last night before the Grammys, or a couple of nights ago. We'll tell you about that report when America's Radio News continues.
Broadcasting from the nation's capital, where we catch the news before it gets away. This is America's Radio News.
information, go to AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com. That's AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com.
When we turn on the light, the insects running high. This is America's Radio News.
Get ready to get informed. Coming to you live from the nation's capital, this is America's Radio News. I'm Chris Salcedo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. Great to have you with us. Well, putting his own stamp on a long-standing Republican priority, President Obama is launching a drive to overhaul state medical malpractice laws and cut down on wasteful tests doctors perform because they fear lawsuits. Obama's budget calls for $250 million in Justice Department grants to help states rewrite their malpractice laws in line with recommendations that his bipartisan debt reduction commission issued last year.
The well-known Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio led a field of potential Republican Senate candidates in Arizona with 21% in a poll of likely GOP primary voters last week. Representative Jeff Flake, who announced his candidacy for the seat of retiring Senate Minority Whip John Kyle, on Monday, finished second with 16.8% in the Summit Consulting Group survey. Former Representative J.D. Hayworth took third with 16.6%. He was unsuccessful in his primary challenge to Senator John McCain last year.
Well, Borders booksellers, sunk by crushing debt and sluggishness in adapting to this rapidly changing industry, has filed for bankruptcy protection. The 40-year-old company plans to close about 200 of its 642 stores over the next few weeks. All of the stores closed will be superstores.
Remember the Grammys? Remember when Lady Gaga came out in that egg-shaped...
How could anybody forget that?
Vessel. And if you thought that was strange,
yeah,
wait till you hear how long she says she was in said vessel.
Okay.
According to a report in Us Magazine, singer Lady Gaga, who arrived at that awards ceremony in that egg-shaped, what they call a vessel, I just called it an egg, says that she was in that thing for 72 hours. It was a very creative experience, said Gaga. Her unconventional arrival drew mixed reactions, but Gaga says it was a necessary part of her Born This Way premiere.
Chris, she was incubating.
Incubating, yeah. Yikes.
Well, listen to this story, Chris. Signs you might have a work spouse.
Go.
Many people say they've got what's known as a work spouse, work
mm-hmm.
husband, work wife,
yes,
co-worker with whom you have a close platonic relationship. Well, the certified career coach, Hallie Crawford, is saying you might have a work spouse if you and your coworker share information you would only tell a spouse, like personal details about yourself that you don't share with other colleagues.
Okay.
You confide in them more than anyone else at the office about work issues.
Mm-hmm.
You spend a lot of time with them almost as much as you do with your spouse.
Oh, well, I think you and I, well, we
are
got...
Are we radio married?
I was going to say we got 2 out of 3 going on there, so I don't know.
Uh-oh.
All right. Okay, the White House Press Secretary Jay Carney held his first press briefing earlier this afternoon, and one of his first questions was from a Reuters reporter about the Iranian warships heading for Syria and the possibility of an interception by Israeli warships.
Let me go to Reuters. Yes, Jeff.
Thanks, Jay. Israel said today that Iranian warships plan to sail through the Suez Canal to Syria. Does the United States view that as a provocation, and how should Israel react?
Look, I think our position on Iran in a variety, you know, in a variety of ways is well known. I would refer you on that specifically to the State Department. I don't have anything for you on the ship in the Suez.
Wow, he seemed
okay.
not really going out of the gate
is
there.
Is he taking off where his predecessor left off?
Well, no, Gibbs would start by saying, you know, I'm not an expert on foreign affairs.
Well, let's give this guy a chance.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
Let's give him a chance.
Sure.
House Majority Whip Kevin McCarthy slams President Obama's new proposed budget. That's a shock. McCarthy says the president's words don't match his actions.
Look, the president always has very good words to say, but the plan does not match what he talks about. He says he's going to cut, but he freezes discretionary spending when he's increased it by 84% just in the last 3 years alone. He didn't ever talk about the tax increases upon the recession of what we're going through hurt the economy. He has an opportunity if he's serious about cutting. Because the Democrats did not pass a budget last term, The Republicans are proposing cuts right now to discretionary spending. It's gone up 84%. $100 billion we will vote on this week. Give him an opportunity to turn this economy around and create the jobs that we hope that America turned back.
You have said repeatedly that Republicans are charting a new course. How so?
Well, look, for instance, the president says he won't sign a bill that has earmarks. It was the Republicans who outlawed them in Congress, so he can't get a bill with earmarks. We're charting a new course by changing the way we spend in Washington. We are cutting back right now.
Okay, let's see them walk their talk, because
I agree.
You know, both sides really need to show us.
Do we need to change the way we spend in Washington, or we just need to stop spending so much in Washington?
Right.
I think that's something that I would put back to Mr. Foreman. All right. President Obama, he was tackling a lot of heavy questions yesterday from the White House press corps about his budget. And he's taking fire today from both Democrats and Republicans over it. But there was a moment of levity. In case you missed it yesterday, how's Rahm Emanuel's mayoral race going these days in Chicago? President Obama addressed that question at his news conference yesterday.
Have you been placing calls for your friend Rahm Emanuel for his mayoral campaign in Chicago? Thank you.
All right, I'll take the last question first. I don't have to make calls for Rahm Emanuel. He seems to be doing just fine on his own. And, you know, he's been very busy shoveling snow out there. You know, I've been very impressed with that. I never saw him shoveling around here.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, some would say he was shoveling some other stuff and not snow. But
that was bad.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're just saying. Well, you know who else is just saying?
Huh.
Justin Bieber.
What's a Bieber?
Justin Bieber did a pretty good imitation of the president, fresh off his Grammy nominations. He sat down with Conan O'Brien, where one of the things they discussed was Bieber's visit to President Obama in the White House.
The first family. You've met the Obamas.
Yeah, that was crazy. They made us like a peek in my movie. They were in my movie a little bit. But the first family, they were really nice. The kids were really nice.
They're big fans.
I went. They actually invited me into the Oval Office when I met Mr. President, and he was like, "Well, hello." And then he was like,
uh-huh.
"My daughter Sasha Malia, my wife Michelle, we are so grateful that you are coming to the White House."
Good impression.
Yeah. I sound exactly like
him. Yeah. I hope nothing important was going down. Well, that's just...
Yeah.
Egypt was collapsing in the background. He's like, quiet, I'm with Justin Bieber.
That kid's
That's
got,
funny.
You know what? I didn't. I'm with Ozzy. You know, I had no idea who Justin Bieber was. I have little girls at the house, so I'm like, I had to go to and get an education.
Are they in love with him?
From my daughter? No.
Shut your mouth.
The only man in my little girl's life is me.
Of course, and it'll always be that way, Chris. Right. You just keep on dreaming.
Hey, check this out. This was a headline of Politico. I thought you'd find. We're digging out our stack here as we're wrapping up the day, ladies and gents. And this comes from Politico. Representative Issa, and he's a Republican, is focused on menopause, condoms, malt liquor, and video games as the House considers how the government should spend taxpayer money over the next 7 months. The California Republican and the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee submitted a slew of amendments yesterday that would ban government-funded studies on how well men use condoms, the effects of integral yoga in treating hot flashes for menopausal women, whether video games improve old folks' mental health, and the use of marijuana in conjunction with malt liquor and with opiates, and the impacts of possible soda tax. So he's stopping all of that spending on all of that research into those pivot.
The marijuana one with the malt liquor, that seems vital.
Vital, really? Has that been on your mind lately?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just asking.
Well, speaking of juice, or I shouldn't say this,
no.
Lance Armstrong, he's calling this one retirement 2.0. I know that was mean, and I really was not accusing him of anything.
No.
It was just a good segue. Almost a month after finishing 65th in his last competitive race in Australia, nearly 6 years removed from the last of his unprecedented 7 straight Tour de France titles, he says this is it. No more reset button. He's retiring, and it will diminish talk that performance-enhancing drugs helped his career.
Well, let's hope so. And, you know, Armstrong gave us many proud days.
Absolutely.
Out there.
I agree.
On the cycle. Okay, America's Radio News done for a Wednesday, but we are back tomorrow. Have no fear. There is plenty going on over the Middle East. It is a very fluid situation. We will keep you up to date for sure.
And we'll keep watching the showdown under the dome as Republicans blast the president's budget.
For Lori London, I am Chris Salcedo. This is America's Radio News. Of course, it's where the nation's news breaks. We'll see you tomorrow for a Thursday.